What would you do with 30 extra minutes a day? With LG, that time starts coming back. LG appliances are built to make everyday life feel lighter. With LG, fewer laundry mistakes, fresher groceries, and easier cleanup add up to more time back. 30 extra minutes isn't just time saved, it's breakfast without rushing, dinner without stress, and one less thing to juggle. Smart performance, sleek style, and reliability for real life, that's LG. Get your time back with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at By the Wayside in the East End. Here's Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes.
Who win it now?
All right, welcome back into the bullpen. Hour number three for Sean and I. Jeremy Show will follow us from 3 to 6. Sean and I back on the air tomorrow for the normal Saturday bullpen, but time slot change. Instead of noon to 3, we'll be on from 3 to 5 live from Tom's Watch Bar downtown. Great spot there. Tons of TVs there at Tom's Watch Bar. So make sure you stop by, say hello, watch the World Cup there, and watch the World Cup here as well by the wayside. This is a really cool spot. Very, very cozy. Sean and I have talked about it earlier in the show, but easily the best sitting arrangement, the most comfortable chairs we've had at any of these remotes, and you can sit inside and watch it. They got multiple TVs in here. You can also enjoy it outside in a shaded like art area with a 13-foot outdoor LED screen. So lots of space there to watch it. Drink specials, $10 cocktails, $10 signature cocktails, $8 classic cocktails, $6 drafts. During their happy hour, Monday through Friday from 6 p.m., we've already tried a few of them. Loved them all. And they've also got some food here that we're going to try here in a little bit, including, we got barbecue sliders, we got brisket tacos, chicken tacos, quesadillas, nachos, so lots of great food and drink here for you to try it by the wayside. Sean, I teased going into the break that I had an epiphany of sorts while I was mowing the lawn on Tuesday. I was like, you know what, I want to talk about this with Sean. We got a lot of shows. We got time to fill. You and I are not used to doing four shows in 1 week together. We got some time to fill. So I want to discuss with you how
you mowed your lawn.
So crazy. I don't really go in and organize. It's just kind of whims. Like, you know what? I'm going to do this section. You know what? I'm crossing back over to this section. Yeah. If you watch me mow, you're like, what in the world is this guy's pattern? But I get it done. It's my own way, right? But I had this thought, like, because I feel like each team has handled it fairly differently or, like, I think that's the correct wording there, but pretty differently with how they've handled their Ring of Honor or their retired numbers with the Rockets, the Texans, and the Astros. And I wanted to throw it at you. Have you rank them? Have AJ rank them as well? If you want to join in that conversation as well, listeners, you can call us or text us at 713-780-3776. So with the Ring of Honor and the retired numbers right now, for the Astros, we have quite a few. We have Biggio, Bagwell, Billy Wagner, Jimmy Wynn, Jose Cruz, Jim Umbricht, he's from the 60s, I apologize if I'm butchering his name, Mike Scott, Nolan Ryan, Don Wilson, and Larry Durker. So a little bit of a lengthy list. Kind of in the middle there, the Rockets, you have Yao Ming, Clyde Drexler, Hakeem Olajuwon, Moses Malone, Rudy T., Calvin Murphy plus CD, but he doesn't have a number. It's just CD on the jersey. So
yes.
He's in there.
It'd
but
be funny if they're like, what number do you want?
What number do you want?
Mr. Dawson?
Anyway. Texans, they have four in the Ring of Honor. They don't do retired numbers, but they have two players, with Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt. Then they also have Bob McNair and Janice McNair in the Ring of Honor as well, which is kind of funny because they have four people in the Ring of Honor and only half of them players.
Yes.
Only half of them are players or coaches.
That is,
I'm not saying.
That will reflect where I rank them. I will say that.
That is not necessarily to say that neither Bob or Janice is unworthy. It just catches my eye is all. All right,
H-Town.
So. thank you, Cal. I think Cal might be a big reason why Mom and Dad are in there. Before we dig into the individual cases, like, there's not a whole lot of names I push back on. Like, I guess if you want to be, like, super nitpicky, like, Rudy T. strictly as a player isn't probably retired enough. Like, he was an all-star player. He scored, like, 10,000 points before he was ended early by the punch from Kermit Washington. Like, he was a very good player. Like, I'm not trying to take anything away from him. I don't think as a player only, though, he was retired number worthy, but you factor in the coaching, and he obviously gets it there.
Yes, it sounds like you're underestimating the heart of a champion there. but I'll let it slide.
Sean, well done. I like that. That was well done. On the baseball side with the Astros, I think they retired too much. Like I don't know who necessarily I'm taking out. Like the Jim Unbrecht one, I was reading up on that one this morning. That one's more of an emotional one. He was one of the team's original players, died young, so they kind of gave him the tip of the I can't say take him out. That's cold blooded.
Heartless.
And then like there's other guys like who I respect where they were for the time, but like when you view them in the context of today versus today's numbers, it kind of feels like Jimmy Winn, Larry Dirk are like, but given the context of where the Astros were at the time versus those numbers in the 70s and 80s, it does make sense. So I can't.
Yeah.
I don't want to nitpick to those, but they do feel maybe less worthy than some of the others.
And with especially like Durker and Cruz, honestly.
Durker was a very good player. I believe he's still the Astros' all-time leader in wins.
Yeah, I think
or second.
They're more like team. Like there's an element of like the fan base and the team is retiring your jersey.
Yeah.
So there's
and Larry
like
Dirk also has a coaching aspect of it too.
Yeah.
So.
There's like a little bit more intangible than like, you know, it's not the Hall of Fame where it's like, were you at this number? Were you at that number? Like there is more like, well, we just kind of liked them. So we, you know, that can be the little, that gets you over the hump.
It gets you over the hump and you're close. I do like as a whole, like, prefer my teams to I'd rather them err on the side of retiring too few than too many because obviously it just diminishes the coolness,
sure.
The accomplishment, the uniqueness of it. Like I mean the Yankees don't have a single digit number to give out now because now they have a storied enough franchise where what choice did they have but to retire Yogi Berra, Derek Jeter, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, like on and on and on, Mickey
Ruth,
Mantle,
I mean,
Joe DiMaggio.
Babe Ruth's,
what do you do for me lately, right? So, I mean, they're kind of backed into it just from how storied their franchise is. But, yeah, I would tend to lean to the side of retire too few than too many. But I think our teams here are kind of on both sides of that, which makes it the interesting question to me. Because the Texans, I think, have retired too few. I think the Astros have retired too many. And the Rockets are kind of perfectly in between. So that is my list. Like, I would go Rockets 1. And it's really a coin flip, Texans, because I think Astros too many, Texans too few. Like, if Texans, go ahead.
Who else have the Texans not retired their jerseys?
Arian Foster, Dwayne Brown. I would retire their numbers. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not retire the numbers. Put them in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
because I think the floor is a little bit lower with Ring of Honor because you're not having the added aspect of now we can't use this number.
Yeah. I'm okay with the Texans standard being what it is, especially because we're talking about
D'Amico Ryans
going into the 25th season of their team.
I throw D'Amico in there, too.
Yeah.
Maybe you let him finish his coaching career first.
That's what I think it is.
Like maybe you don't want an active coach in your Ring of Honor, but I think he gets in there.
I think he can Rudy T his way in, where it's like, as a player, it's like borderline.
He was a rookie
And as a coach. But I do think, like, the Texans, they're just so young that it's like.
That is part of it.
I'd rather
sure.
them err on the two guys that aren't named McNair in this Hall of Fame are Pro Football Hall of Famers. So, like, they haven't.
That's the threshold. That's going to be a low. Yeah, it's going
to
be a low
I don't think that has to be the list forever or the threshold forever. I do think that it's good when you're starting it not to immediately go with, like, you know, we all liked Earl Mitchell. Put him in. You know, like.
How'd you go to Earl Mitchell? How's that? Vrad Morency? Like some other rando.
Antonio Smith. Come on.
Tony Hollings. What's up?
Just as like a fan favorite, you know, like we all, you know, Chester Pitts, we all like. He's on a broadcast.
Right.
So I think.
So you're not with me on the Arian Foster, Dwayne Brown?
Arian Foster, Dwayne Brown, probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Okay. So your threshold there is pretty high.
Yeah.
So.
But it's also, they could do Arian Foster in 2 years. You know, like,
there's no
they
time
didn't,
limit on
they
these
didn't
necessarily.
Have anyone on this list until, what, 2023? 2022?
Yeah. I think Andre was the first, right? Or was Bob the first? I don't remember.
Well,
it might have been Bob first, Andre too.
I'm not counting the McNair family putting themselves into the Ring of Honor.
Are you saying the McNairs treat their Ring of Honor like the WWE does their Hall of Fame?
It's
completely fugazi?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
You heard it here first. But Sean wants to rip Bob McNair out of the Ring of Honor. Get out of here, you old dead guy.
What'd you ever do for me other than give me an NFL team?
Yeah, other than that, what did you do for you?
But, I mean, still, it just feels in poor taste. I'll just say that. It feels like a little.
Yeah, to rip the guy out of the Ring of Honor is a poor taste,
Sean. No, for you.
I know. I set you up there.
It just, don't love it. Especially because the guys, the owners that do get put in team Hall of Fames, A, it's always posthumously, which I'm fine with, whatever. And B,
I don't know if he's already done it. Maybe he's already done it. But Jerry Jones feels like put me in the Hall, Ring of Honor before I'm dead thing.
I will say, Jerry Jones, if he's in the Ring of Honor.
He deserves it.
Way more accomplished than Bob McNair.
Oh, I mean, yeah, obviously.
Hall of Famer, yes. All the other owners.
Jerry Jones feels like a guy that would put himself in before he dies. He wouldn't wait till his son to do it.
And you know what? Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
I'm not even saying that's a problem.
If Bob McNair won three Super Bowls, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
I hear what you're saying. Rip Bob McNair out of the Ring of Honor. That's what Sean Mapes wants. Find him on Twitter at Sean Mapes. Come after him. Okay, so you're out on the Duane Brown, Arian Foster out. Now let's go to the Rockets because I saw this. I thought I remembered it. I looked it up to see if I remembered it correctly. And all the news reports I saw were from like 2021, 2022. But the Rockets at that time said they were going to put James Harden.
Oh, yeah.
They were going to retire. I guess they're going to wait for him to retire from the NBA. But
yes, that is smart.
Completely deserving for you, I assume?
Yeah. I mean, he won an MVP.
He won an MVP.
Made playoffs every year he was here.
Multiple conference finals.
Yeah, I guess until the half season where he got traded. But
So the ending doesn't – see, I always wonder with guys because obviously just by all
that would hurt
court,
Dwayne Brown's case to make the
for sure,
Texas
the,
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, when he forced his way out of here to Seattle, that probably didn't help, especially since it was personal between him and Bob.
Yeah, implied that one-fourth of the – at least one-fourth of the other members of the Ring of Honor might be racist.
Yeah, kind of a problem. Kind of – might hurt –
That's
hurt,
why Dwayne Brown
might hurt your eligibility.
Probably not.
I still think he deserves to be in, but I can see why I hurt his eligibility. But, yeah, I mean, like, on the court, James Harden obviously deserves it. I do wonder, though, just he has obviously such a reputation, more so among fans than I think the front office who would decide this. But he has such a reputation, obviously, for being a playoff choker, and then the way he ran out Kevin McHale, and then the way he fat-suited his way out here at the end before going to Brooklyn. Like, if the Rockets were to say, you know what, never mind, like, I wouldn't be heartbroken about it.
Yeah, that's another thing where...
Like, I feel like I'm going to look up at the Harden 13 and go, like, I'm not going to have... I feel like my negative memories will outweigh my positive memories, which I kind of think is an important threshold for a retired number.
I will say for most NBA players, if we're holding them to that, by like, how ugly was the exit? No one's getting their jersey retired?
I think the good one, like, I mean, the good
Steph Curry
the
and
bad.
No one else? Would Giannis get his jersey retired from Milwaukee?
That's actually a good question.
That's where you have to remember this will probably be like 5 years from now.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're looking at 10 years from the fat suit.
Time will heal.
Yeah. And, you know, they can put together an awesome highlight package and a hey, you're the only team to push the maybe one of the greatest teams of all time to elimination while they were healthy.
Arguably would have won if Chris Paul doesn't
Yeah,
hurt.
It's like you're very close to like having one of, you know, the most, you know, airtight, awesome ring, you know, like a 1995 level of hard road to a ring or like the, you know, 2011 Mavericks level of like redemptive arc. It's like, but you missed 27 three-pointers and
Paul's
lost by nine.
And then 27 threes missed. Yeah, yeah. That was unfortunate.
So I think James Harden, I think it's, like, almost ridiculous to be like, is he in? He's definitely
in. He's definitely
Tillman Fertitta said he's in. So,
yeah, he's definitely in. It's just a matter of when, not if. Yeah. So a few names on the Astros side that, like, I do
this
think
this is interesting.
I do think they have too many. Well, there's a couple more I would throw
in
here.
They made seven straight, you know.
Well, even before that, like even before the Golden Era, I throw in Berkman and Oswalt. I would retire their numbers.
Yep.
And then Golden Era, obviously Altuve, Jordan's on the track. I would say Bregman is in. Springer, I think because he was World Series MVP, like he has a shorter run with the team than some of the other names we've mentioned.
I think that gets him
but
over
because
the
he was World Series MVP, I think he's in. So yeah. Is that in Verlander? Obviously,
Verlander best pitcher.
So that's
in
so Altuve, Bregman, Correa. Is he in?
Correa, to
I think,
me, is
I think
the,
Correa's in. He was so clutch.
That might be one where it's like.
Is that your cutoff?
What I was talking about with like Rudy T and Larry Durker, where it's like. If by, like, a numerical standard might not actually make it.
Right.
But the, like, heart and soul of the
heart
team.
Heart and soul, the telling Cody Bellinger to shut the F up.
Yeah, and then especially with him coming back, and he's probably going to end his career with the Astros, or at least in the, you know, what's left of his, like, actual contributing prime of his career with the Astros, like, that will also really help his case.
That's adding up the Astros number pretty quick. So we have Altuve, Bregman, Correa, Springer, Verlander. That's five from the Golden Era.
And then Oswald
and Berkman. So we're adding up seven to adding onto the list.
Yeah.
Lance McCullers? He's got two rings?
Oh, you're serious?
I'm just asking the question, Sean.
Probably not.
You feel free to go with any way you want with it.
How about City Home Network lead analyst Lance McCullers? Can I interest you in that instead?
We'll always have 24 straight curveballs.
We will always have that. And, like, with the Astros, there is an element of
– starting pitcher of Game 7, 2017.
Yes,
although he
closed one Game 7, started another one.
Like, although he wasn't great in that Game 7 when against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
He hit a couple batters.
Yeah. I think the Golden Era really it's something where, like, the Astros are already
– the Astros already kind of have too many, and then you're going to have to add, like, seven guys
in.
Yeah,
well, when you go to the World Series every other year for 8 years, like, you're going to fill it up.
We're going to start working in, like, 99 and double zero for the Astros with all these retired numbers.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any other Golden Era guys that
– like, I wouldn't put Yuli
Presley?
In. No, I wouldn't put Presley
okay.
in. I think that's my – I wouldn't put Presley in.
Garrett Cole.
No, it's only 2 years.
I know. And the opposite of
the Boris.
People hate your guts.
I wouldn't put Yuli in, although I did love him. I think that's end of list from the Golden Era.
Brian McCann?
No, Brian.
Evan Gattis.
No, not Evan Gattis.
Derek Fisher scored a game-winning
Conger.
Game-winning run in World Series Game 5 against the Dodgers.
I have one more
Derek
for you.
Derek Fisher.
I know you'll be on board with this. Brad Peacock. He's in.
Love Brad Peacock.
Yeah, I love Brad. Thank you, Trump. All right. So I don't think I got your rank. What's your rank on this?
Best, I'll go just like – I'm ranking this as like I have the fewest notes with
these
people.
I think that's a fair way to rank
it. Rockets, Astros, Texans.
Yeah, I definitely go –
Texans being 50% McNair family.
You said
family.
Rockets first, right?
Rockets first.
Rockets is my number one, too. I think I'm – so you went Rockets, Astros, Texans. I think I would do the same. Like, I do have more notes. Like, my only note with the Astros is, like, maybe there's one too many, whereas the Texans, it feels like you got too many McNairs in, and where's Arian, where's
Bowie? Yeah, and it's there's
where's
a little
D'Amico?
Bit of – with the Texans – incomplete.
Oh,
you know, like you've only been around for 20 years.
What other name we could throw in here? I think for the Texans, quickly, DeAndre Hopkins
should be in.
Yeah, I think he should be
in
too. AJ, what would be your rank on these Ring of Honors?
Mine's also the Rockets, Astros, and then Texans as well too.
Any notable names you think or should be in that aren't in right now?
I mean, I think the ones that y'all listed, like DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, like those are active players. I think that he'll get listed. Same thing with the Rockets for James Harden; he'll end up being
too. Is there a Rocket not named James Harden that? Has a case? I think they got it.
I don't
mostly.
Think so. Like,
nah.
I mean, I guess McGrady, but I wouldn't put McGrady. I think you got to have a.
Yeah, and there's an element of if you're going to put McGrady in, it probably would have already happened.
Like, I wouldn't put Francis in. I wouldn't put McGrady in.
I really wish Chris Paul played for more than 2 years.
Yeah,
he probably could get in. Like, if he had like a 5-year run.
Same thing with Dwight, but Dwight's run was too short.
Yeah.
Obviously, Westbrook's run was only 1 year.
Shingun?
No Shingun. How long does Durant have to be here to get in?
A while.
Win a championship. A more if he wants a championship.
Yeah, win a championship. Win a championship or
he's
like.
In, he's in next year if he wins a championship.
The 2 year, like he has 2 years left, probably needs another year or two. And then,
I would say we'll talk. Like 4 years and we'll talk unless there's a title.
Yeah.
But the problem is he's like 38, so what are those 4 years going to look like?
Amin Thompson, we'll see.
Yeah, Amin Thompson's got time.
I'll say this. This is a different.
Wow. We're 20 minutes in. It's already three goals in the what was the over-under here, Sean?
Three and a half.
France and Norway.
You don't count your money while you're sitting at the table. Right?
20 minutes in, we got three.
I didn't
say it was a win. I'm just saying.
I'll be three goals in 20 minutes. Pissed off.
You will be.
The next 70 minutes of the soccer
Well, likely you won't be on by the time that goes final, so you could go be pissed off in your car on the way home. All right, we got another segment. We got two more segments coming up. When we get back, let's do another NFL divisional vibe check. This time, with a division that includes our own team here in Houston, the AFC South. Brian and Sean live at By the Wayside in East Downtown. A couple more segments to go before Jeremy and Joe take over at 3. We'll be right back.
This is The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at By the Wayside in the East End. Here's Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes.
That's right, Big Boy Sky, Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, live from By the Wayside in East Downtown. We're here for a couple more segments before handing it over to Jeremy and Joe, and then Sean and I. Back on the air on Saturday as well, tomorrow 3 to 5 from Tom's Watch Bar downtown, so make sure you stop by and say hello. That, in addition to By the Wayside, also a great place to watch your games. They got a ton of TVs here. This place had TVs inside, TVs outside, a 13-foot LED screen outside. Inside, they got big TVs, and not only are they big, but they got comfortable seating. You can see the couches probably in the background, the chairs. Sean and I have both said earlier on in the show that these were the most comfortable chairs we've sat at a remote. So big ups to By the Wayside. Big ups to Will, who's been helping us out today. Stop by. $10 cocktails during their happy hour, which is Monday through Friday from till 6 p.m. We've already had a couple of these drinks. In particular, Sean had the This Counts as Self-Care, which is a vodka drink. I had a Burning Daylight, which is a tequila drink. We both finished those pretty quickly. You can get those $10 signature cocktails for just $10 during happy hour. Also $6 drafts. They're open for all World Cup games, open Monday through Friday, 7 days a week actually now. Watch their Instagram for their live music schedule, because there's a stage here to now my left as I moved, where you have live music here a couple days a week. All right, Sean, time to get another division under the belt here for our vibe checks. We'll have two more on tomorrow's show, but to finish up this show, we'll go locally here with the AFC South. Start with the division reigning division champions, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last year's record, 13-4, one game better than Houston Texans, ranked sixth on offensive points per game, eighth on defense and points allowed. Obviously, the losses, Travis Etienne going to the Saints. They lose their linebacker, Devin Lloyd. No, I would call massive adds. I mean, their skill players are already kind of set, especially in wide receiver. Obviously, Parker Washington, Brian Thomas Jr. They made the trade for Jacoby last year. Their wide receivers are already kind of set. They did add Chris Rodriguez to back up Bashaul Tuten with Travis Etienne going to the Saints. But what is your vibe here on the Jaguars?
I think this is a solid team. I really can't see a huge collapse potential.
No, I don't either. Unfortunately,
what we talk about with some of these other teams, where I'm like, there's a world where this team sucks. This one, I think they're solid. I wonder how much of last season's run that they ended the regular season on. I think it was a 9-game winning streak. Might have been 10 actually.
It might have been every game since the collapse to the Texans.
Yeah. I wonder how much of that, obviously, their last game was in January. Their next game is going to be in September. it's not actual momentum, but is there it clicked. The offense just looked better.
It did.
Once they traded for Jacoby Myers and things, again, just kind of clicked into
Parker
place.
Parker Washington came into our lives.
Yep. And BTJ, I wonder what Brian Thomas Jr. Rebound season potential.
Know.
Maybe that's more of a
obviously,
fantasy
what is,
corner.
What does Travis Hunter, if at all, contribute on the offensive side? I kind of lean to the side that he's 80% corner, 20% wide receiver is probably his current path. That's the way I lean.
I think full-time corner with some
– Yeah,
with,
but that
with
could still be
package.
Impactful.
Yeah.
That could still be impactful on offense.
No, for sure.
Goal line packages or something like that. But we'll see there. My vibe is, it's what you said. I don't have a lot of notes for this team. I mean, I've obviously been someone that's questioned Trevor Lawrence in the past. I still kind of think bad quarterback is in there. We saw that in the playoffs. He had that huge interception that ended their game. But overall, I really believe in Liam Cohen. I like the weapons around Trevor Lawrence. Defense is really good. I don't expect a major drop-off. I'll take a guess here at the win-loss total from Vegas. But I'm going to guess if it's 10.5, I'm going over. I could see it being 11.5. I kind of think they win. I think their floor is really 11 wins to me. I would probably win 12.
It's so great that you don't look at the over-under before.
What is it?
is 8.5.
Oh, my God, Sean. Fire the over.
It's 8.5? Put your mortgage on it.
I thought it was I honestly thought it was going to be 10.5.
I was expecting a 9.5 or 10.5.
It's 8.5?
8.5.
I mean, it pains me to say because they're the Texans division, but fire the over.
What's my schedule goodness. Looking like?
So, man, what was the other one I was really high? I think it was the 49ers under. I think that was the other one I was really high
yes,
on.
Yes, and one of the NFC South ones.
Yeah,
love,
one of the
you
NFC
love those guys.
Yeah, I love the NFC South. No bigger fan than
the
NFC
Oh, it was the Saints.
Oh, the Saints. Yeah, I fired on the over on that one as well. Yeah. But, yeah, I would fire on the 8.5. What about you, Sean?
Yeah, I like the over here as
I think
well.
you just hit, Sean. Congratulations. France has the third goal, and they are officially over the 3.5. 3-1 France over Norway currently.
Let's pause for VAR.
Oh, that's true. We got to pause for VAR.
I hate how long it takes for
it
that.
It does,
to,
yeah.
And once they review it, the review process is quick, but they really let them celebrate for a while.
They do. They do. Before they even like,
take
go
a look at the under the hood.
Right.
I think this team is a 10-win team. And so to get them at 8.5 is a steal at any price. AJ, what do you think about the Jags?
I think probably like a 10-7 type of year, something like that.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Lawrence, I think.
Has he leveled up to you?
He's in the spot where I don't have regular season questions about Lawrence. I have
That's
postseason
fair.
Questions.
Kinda like, where would you put him
Cousins-y?
Compared to Herbert?
Oh.
Because I kind of feel like they're the same.
Same tier.
Yeah.
Herbert. I think Herbert knows over Lawrence just because of. Herbert doesn't make, like, horrible decisions. Like, he'll throw interceptions, but they're not, like, WTF throws.
I think he had a pretty good, like, low interception total last year.
Yeah.
Reserves.
Yeah. Lawrence just has a couple, like, throws per game where you're just like, what the hell was that? Where it's,
yeah,
just,
the
it's
one
a
the
wild.
Playoffs.
It's not just a miss or, like, he didn't see it right. It's, like, a wild miss.
Yeah.
Where Herbert doesn't have quite as many of those.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Yeah. All right. Next team up, of course, is our Houston Texans. They finished last year 12-5. This number is obviously, I think, a little surprising considering the conversation around this team, but finished last year 13th on offense and points per game, second on defense in points allowed, just barely getting edged out by the Seahawks because they sat their starters, the Texans that is, sat their starters in the second half of that Week 18 game against the Colts. Key adds, of course, David Montgomery. They get him in the trade from the Detroit Lions. They make a couple of big additions, we hope, at least on the offensive line, with Keelan Rutledge in the first round, and then signing the Wyatt Teller and the guard tackle from the Colts as well. You hope Tank coming back is also a big addition, and they get Reed Blankenship at safety from the Eagles. Coaching changes, not much other than they changed their quarterback coach with Gerard Johnson going to the Eagles.
Yep.
But
Shaplinski in.
Yeah. Say that name one more time.
Shaplinski.
There we go. Thank you, Sean. But what is your vibe right now? I feel like we've talked about the vibe forever, mm-hmm. but let's quickly recap. What is your vibe on the Texans?
I was going to say, like,
we've kind of covered the vibe.
We do a version of this probably, like, I don't know, twice a day.
Yeah.
But I think another very high floor team. I really can't see this team.
What is
know.
Their floor to you?
Like 8-9 wins?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like worst case?
Worst case, everything goes wrong, 8-9 wins.
Yeah,
everything goes right, 12 or 13.
Yeah, so
somewhere in that window.
I mean, the defense obviously just sets such a high standard for
and
where
they
this
only added. I mean,
at.
I didn't even mention Kaden McDonald as one of the adds, but
yeah,
they
yeah.
get it. They get hit, like two of the spots where you thought they might be a little thin were safety and defensive tackle, and they added to both spots. So
yeah, it's gonna be a fun unit to watch. They not just how talented they are, but the violence in which they play is always hits all day.
Shout out to Jalen Petrie. That hit on Rashee Rice was unbelievable. So the
a little bit higher ceiling.
Thank you all day.
Thank you, Kamari. A little bit higher ceiling than the Jags. I think similar floor.
Okay, yeah, I could get behind that.
Just because their one unit, the Texans' one unit, is
greater than any of the Jaguars.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair. What's the Vegas win-loss total?
9.5.
I'll go over.
Yes, over, less enthusiastic.
I'm not going to say hammer it like it's a guarantee, but I would go over. Because I think they win 10 or 11.
Yeah, I go less enthusiastic over than the Jags at, what, 8.5?
8.5, fire on the over.
But I think two double-digit win teams. AJ, you're not a Texans fan. Are we sipping the Kool-Aid, the Battle Red Kool-Aid too much?
No, I think y'all are actually doing well. You should hear what DJ and Sarge have said about them. They're like 15-2, 14-3, something like that. Yeah, that's definitely accurate. I think like 10-11 wins, something like that. Yeah, 14-3 is crazy.
All right, let's move on to the Colts, who it's such a funny like look at their season when you think back and remember they were 7-1. Like I believe they were leading the league not only with the 7-run record, best record in the league at the time, but I also believe they were near the top in like points per game.
They had
a couple 40-point games mixed in there.
There's some metrics.
thank you.
There's some metrics those first seven games where they had like the best offense of all time.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. They were literally, I remember seeing something comparing them to like that Randy Moss year with the Patriots. Like the 18-0 year.
0-1 Rams.
Colts, no first round picks this year. They send Michael Pittman to the Steelers. Zaire Franklin, the linebacker, leaves as well. Last year, the record 8-9, which again, they started 7-1 and they finished the year 8-9. Ranked eighth on offense, which is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that first half to still finish on eighth.
Front-loaded.
And then 21st on defense. What is the vibe on the Colts, Sean?
Meh. You know, like I'm not too – I don't know what you can look at and be like super worked up, optimistic on the optimistic side. Sauce Gardner.
I guess you're saying Daniel Jones is back, and when they had him, they were 7-1.
Yes. Sauce Gardner got a year younger.
Yeah. yeah, that's right. He did.
The rare.
I forgot about that.
He
had a season ending injury and then came back a year younger.
Yes. But, I mean, the offensive line, the Jonathan Taylor, like, yep, love it. Tyler Warren, love it.
Yep, love it. I like Josh Downs. I like. Alec Pierce, although, do you think Alec Pierce, because they clearly made a decision to
Pierce over Pittman.
They paid Pierce huge in the offseason to ship Pittman to the Steelers. I get it. I just, you know, Pierce has always been that big bomb, 40 yards downfield guy. Like, I don't know if he works as a number one. Maybe he doesn't have to be because Tyler Warren and Josh Downs are there. They just spread it around. But, like, I have some reservations about that. Like, I liked Michael Pittman more than Alec Pierce.
Yeah, the receivers, it's a lot. It's, you know, even past the Downs, Pierce, it's you get to Ashton Doolin, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
I didn't realize they got him from the Titans.
Deion Burks.
Who?
Deion Burks, the first-round pick from the Titans.
Oh.
Arizona, or Arkansas wide receiver.
Burks.
Oh, no. Actually, no. Actually, I was thinking of Treylon Burks.
Treylon Burks was okay. So who reinstated?
Yeah, reinstate the. Okay, he's the guy from Oklahoma.
Treylon Burks was, I think, what, the eighth overall pick? He was in the teens because they got him with the AJ Brown.
Yeah,
the pick they got for AJ Brown to the Eagles.
So
yeah.
No, this is a 5'8" wide receiver.
Definitely not Treylon Burks. He's a big dude.
But yeah, this just feels like a 8-8 kind of team.
I kind of feel like,
I guess you can't be 8-8. Like 8-8-1 kind of team. I think they tie somewhere in there.
Wow. Now I want to do the schedule game with you so I can find out where that tie is. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow to shout out to Rich Eisen with the ongoing schedule games every day. But
October 25th against Minnesota.
That's a tie. That's a tie. All right. You know what? Give them a tie. but I find myself flipping back and forth between, clearly, I think Shane Steichen's a good OC. We've seen it in the past. The pieces around Daniel Jones are there, and we saw it work for a non-small sample size of eight games last year.
Still a question mark to me.
But I kind of think that – I do think that even despite that, like, I don't think it was necessarily fool's gold. I kind of think they hit their high water mark, and it can't help but regress.
Especially Jones coming off an Achilles now.
Yeah, so I kind of lean towards, I'm going to guess their Vegas win total, 7.5.
You got it.
Okay. Perfect. And I think they win 7-8 games, so I would just stay away. But right. I guess if forced to bet, I would lay the, or I'd play the under.
Yeah, I agree. Slide under. This is one, shout out to Vegas. Great
line. I think they nailed it.
Yeah. They're either winning 8 or 7.
Yeah, really.
They're really. I don't. You know, I don't think this is a terrible team.
AJ, where are you at with the Colts?
Yeah, I think they're in that 7-8-9-1 range as well, too. And, Brian, you said that Shane Steichen is a good OC. Well, his job as an OC is to be a head coach. So, I feel like
I'm just saying.
I mean, that 21-ranked defense last year.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Coach. That's true as well.
True. That's why they're going to win 7 games and not more, right?
Yeah.
It is interesting because you look at – speaking of Shane Steichen again quickly – like, you look at the rest of this division, obviously the Titans have a new head coach with Robert Saleh. He's not on the hot seat. DeMeco and Liam Cohen are very safe. Shane Steichen, while I think last year's 7-1 start obviously buys him some time, if they get off poorly, we know what happened with Anthony Richardson. Like, if this gets off to, like, a 2-4 start, 2-5 start, I think the hot seat could be right back to where it was before that 7-1 run to start last season.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what Carly or say Gordon hears on the headset, I think.
Oh, my God. Why did I not go to that? The vibes. The vibes are horrible. What is she doing on the headset? Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's cool when you're 7-1. Less cool when when you go whatever.
When you finish.
1-8.
Yeah, 1-8 to finish. Good Lord. What are you doing? Oh, I want to understand the. No, okay. Just have meetings. Get off the headset. What are you kidding me? All right, let's move on to the Titans. I guess quickly. So you think Steichen, what's the 1 to 10, what's his hot seat meter?
I'd say like a 6.
A 6?
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think it's not – I don't think he's a mid-season fire guy, I think, but he's definitely a candidate with a bad – like a losing season to be out the door when the year's over. All right, one more team in the AFC South to check the temperature here on. Tennessee Titans.
I mean, we're keeping the book right now, we ask.
Thank you, Cam Ward. The voice of Cam Ward there. Thank you, AJ. Carnell Tate, they added the fourth overall pick out of Ohio State, the wide receiver there. They get Wandell Robinson, another wide receiver for the Titans to hopefully make Cam Ward less ass. The key losses, they traded Tavondre Sweat, hook him to the Jets, and they released cornerback Legarius Sneed. Of course, Robert Saleh, the new head coach, and he brings in Brian Daboll, the former Giants head coach, as their OC. Finished 3-14 last year, did the Titans, and they were equally bad on both sides of the ball. 30th on offense, 28th in defense, and points per game, and points per game allowed. Sean, what is your vibe on the Tennessee Titans?
You know, as far as like a rebuilding team goes, not that bad. I'm not disgusted by what I'm seeing on this on this roster. You know, there's some good pieces here.
There you go.
There's some good pieces here. I like Saleh. I like the hire of Saleh coming in.
Can we get more? Was it Falcon metaphors that we got? What was the bird that we got?
It was the Eagles, right?
Was the Eagles?
Eagles like pecking at something?
Yeah, there was that thing from Hard Knocks was so weird. He started comparing like this is the bird that I got to go back and watch it. But
yeah,
tells you about
what's that, AJ?
Tells you a lot about that franchise.
Yeah,
I like that, and I really like the hire Daboll as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, really helped turn Josh Allen into who he is today.
Yeah, that's one of the things where we talk about, like, Texans and defensive-minded head coach. You're always kind of hiring a coordinator that might leave. Getting Daboll where it's like, if he does a good job, like, I still don't think he gets a job next year. So,
I think you have a runway with him.
Yeah, so getting, like, the fired, failed, offensive-minded head coach.
This is what I wish the Texans would do. Like, that's the type of guy that I would want the Texans to get.
I think that he can maximize it, and I saw some
good
stuff.
Find your offensive Romeo Crennel. Like, he had his run.
Spagnuolo.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw some stuff from Ward where he didn't have, like, an awesome rookie year. He'll tell you that himself. But I think I saw like enough flashes where I'm like, I think this he might be a dude. He might be a dude. I'll tell you that
from before they fired their head coach and when they have fired their head coach. Like it really, not that he took a massive step once they ran their coach out, but like when he was just completely awful, or as we heard in the clip, if we keep it a buck, we ask. That was before they made that move. Afterwards, I thought he played decently. I think they beat the Broncos, right? Didn't they have a win?
They did knock someone off.
Yeah, I think it was the Broncos in Denver. Like they got close to it at least. Like they certainly started to play better. Now you've added Wandell Robinson and Carnell Tate to it.
Tate Robinson Ridley, Alik Iomanor, like. This isn't a Kamir Dike. Like, Iomanor and Kamir Dike were their ones and twos, or maybe two and three last year. They're their 4 and 5.
I'm not just saying it's a Longhorn, but I like Gunnar Helm at tight end.
Yeah.
I think Bellinger, not that he's a game changer, but I think he's a capable.
Again, Like, I look at this team, I'm like,
Tony Pollard, running back, not a game changer, but he's solid. He can probably get you 800, 900 yards. I think he had 1,000 last year. But
defense, like, you know.
I'm skeptical of the talent, but I trust Robert Saleh.
Robert Saleh, pixie dust. Like, let's, you know, this isn't a bad team. I'm talking myself into these guys.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs because I've seen a lot of hot takes out there that Titans are like a first or worst the first contender. I wouldn't go that far. They win 3 games last year. I think they at least double it. But I think they're like a 6-7 win team. But what's the Vegas over?
Well, you're going to have to decide whether
6.5
whether you think they're a 6-7 win team.
Nailed it. I'll go under. But I why did I say they're disappointed? I want them to be under. But yeah, I think they're a 6-7 win team.
It's the team you grew up watching, the Houston Oilers.
I mean, factually correct. But yeah, I think they're a 6-7 win team, but I will side on the underside and say they win 6 games.
This is more of a symbolic over of just like, thumbs up.
I like the cap, you like their offseason.
I like what you got cooking. Yeah. Thumbs up. I don't know if you actually get to 7, but I
do like their offseason.
If it's a 6,
I do like their offseason.
If it's a 6-win season, I think it's a like positive 6-win season.
Yeah, that we feel, the only way I don't think we feel optimistic about the Titans going forward is if Cam Ward doesn't level up.
Yeah, and like, I don't think that happens.
But yeah, I don't think he'll be worse. Like he did look better in the second half. He's got a better OC now. He's got better weapons around him. So we'll see. We'll see. All right, we got one more segment to go live here from By the Wayside before Jeremy and Joe take over from 3 to 6. And Sean and I will be back on the air tomorrow from 3 to 5 at Tom's Watch Bar downtown. So make sure you stop by and say hello. But get out here to By the Wayside again. Happy hour Monday through Friday until 6 p.m. $10 select signature cocktails. Sean and I already tried a couple of these, the Burning Daylight with tequila. This counts as self-care with vodka. We both downed those pretty quickly. They got $6 Draftstern Hop Happy Hour as well. Open for all World Cup games, open 7 days a week. Check out their Instagram for the live music schedule. And make sure when you stop by to check out that outdoor part of the venue here because it's shaded. They've got some cool art designs on the wall. They got a huge 13-foot outdoor LED screen to watch your World Cup action. All right, Sean and Brian, for one more segment, when we get back, it's time for some World Cup leftovers. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at By the Wayside in the East End. Here's Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes.
All right, Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes for one more segment. Just a couple minutes left here in the bullpen before we hand it over to Jeremy and Joe. We are at By the Wayside where they have happy hour. They have great food that we're going to try here a little bit. I have my eyes on the tacos, maybe the quesadillas, I'm not sure yet, but lots of great food here. Cool outdoor venue as well, like the indoor, as you can see on the cameras, very soft, very comfortable, very chic, I would say. The outdoor venue, though, art in the walls. They have a huge 13-foot outdoor TV as well to watch your World Cup action, so perfect place to come in and catch that. And it's only a couple miles away from the FIFA Fan Fest as well, so if you're on the way there or the way back, you know, come by and check out By the Wayside. Sean, let's talk about the World Cup before we head out of here and hand it over to Jeremy Joe. Didn't go the way the Americans wanted to, us being, I don't want to say the Americans, we're Americans. Didn't go the way we wanted to last night. Obviously, we didn't need the victory there because the American already wrapped up their group.
Sat most of the starters.
But it's 2-2 late. Yeah. And then 90 plus 8, 8 minutes into stoppage time, Turkey gets a goal to give them the 3-2 victory. Ultimately, it doesn't matter, but how do you feel about the result yesterday?
It's a little bit of a damn.
Know? Like, you want to go perfect, right?
Yeah, and it felt a little bit I was more interested in just, like, well, how deep is this team? Because we see the starters,
right,
obviously, like, way better than we're accustomed to in the USMNT. I was like, all right, what's the depth looking like? You know, it's a little bit of, like, college football brain of, like, you know, the second half against Texas State. You're like, all right, now I guess we see what the freshmen look like. Wasn't blown away. I think we got about, you know.
Stars and scrubs?
11 or 12 good players.
How many they feel, Sean?
They 26.
No, I meant all at one time.
Oh, yeah.
That was the point. Yeah, that was the point I was making.
Yeah, like Tim Weah wasn't blown away by him. Brendan Harrison, not great. And you could really tell the difference when Christian Pulisic comes in.
When Pulisic came back in,
like,
the 50th.
Oh, yeah, this is what it looks like.
Yeah, when he came back in the 58th, when he came into the 58th minute, to quote Jim Ross, like, business picked up. Like,
yeah.
There was a noticeable difference in the quality of play. Also, obviously,
he looked sharp.
I think the big note going forward, even though it's disappointing not to finish group play 3-0, when you certainly felt like the Americans were a better team than Turkey, you know, whatever.
Turkey.
Sure, whatever. Sorry, Alpi. Sorry if I mispronounced that. Maybe play defense and I'll get it right. unnecessary strike.
Yeah.
Unnecessary strike.
I mean, they gave two goals to the B squad, yeah, too. I don't know if anyone in that country can play defense.
Yeah, look, I saw their footwork. Looks a whole lot better than Yelpy, right? No, but like ultimately the takeaway is Pulisic looked good. They looked better when he came back. I think I like their chances. Is it still Bosnia and Herzegovina that they're going to face?
Yeah,
it's locked in. I like their chances there. I think this team is going to win a couple of knockout games, Sean. France and a few other teams are still considerably better than they are. I don't have any visions of a win or even a making the final, but I think they win a couple of knockout games.
Yeah. I'm locked in on that. Got to beat Bosnia Herzegovina.
Yes, at the very least, they have to beat Bosnia Herzegovina.
We'll see what's behind that. That might be kind of the pivot game of, like, is this a really, you know, really amazing tournament for U.S., or is it just kind of like, hey, they showed some flashes, took the right steps, but ultimately ended where it always ends.
All right, that'll do it for us today. We're going to hand it over to Jeremy and Joe here in just a couple of minutes. Thank you to By the Wayside. Thank you to Will behind the bar for having us out here taking care of us. Thank you, Will, for all those drinks have been great. We particularly love the Burning Daylight, and this counts as self-care. Make sure you try those drinks when you're out here. Make sure you try their food as well. See the 13-foot outdoor TV. Really cool spot with the art on the brick walls here in Edo as well. Historic building that they refurbished. It's a really cool spot. Great vibes as well. So make sure you come out and check it out if you want to watch World Cup, or even if you don't, because it's a cool spot. Stay tuned for Jeremy, Joe, Sean, and I. We'll be back tomorrow from 3 to 5 at Tom's Watch Bar. Thanks for listening, Houston. We'll see you tomorrow.